Hello, welcome to episode 3 of Behind the Fence. You've got your two hosts here, Phoenix and myself, two girls that are obsessed with reality television. Phoenix, say hey.
What's up?
And we're talking to two brothers that have been behind the fence in the American jail and prison system. Johnny and David, say hey.
What's up, guys?
Yo.
Last week, we left it off with booking. We talked about some gross things, in my opinion, and some hilarious things, in my opinion, and hopefully you guys enjoyed it too. So today we're going to finish up. Johnny, you had just gotten off the bus. You thought you were going to be the last person in line so you could watch what was going on in front of you, and you ended up being first. You were stripped down, relieved of your dignity.
Butt ass naked.
Tell us what happened after that.
Yeah, so after my plan backfired, I was in there. You're in a big ass room with a bunch of nurses and cops and stuff. They tell you if you want to run GP or whatever to go ahead and take your clothes off and step to the right. So I get naked and you're right.
Wait,
there.
Wait, Johnny, what's GP for those that don't know?
GP is general population.
So, got it.
I referenced at the end of last episode, you come up to the front and the COs, the correctional officers, are standing right there and they say, hey, if you want to run GP, you think you can handle yourself? They tried to scare me and said some other stuff. Go ahead and step to the right and take off your clothes and throw them into that bin. If you can't and you're a piece of shit and you want to roll it up and go to protective custody or PC, go to the left and you have to ring this bell. And you literally ring the bell and you see the whole place look at you and they're like, who just rolled it up? Like, it's like they... It's a whole thing.
Whoa. So, that's crazy.
I go to the right. I'm naked with like 10 other dudes. The cops come over and they do the whole search. You know, you got to lift up your arms, your tongue. You turn around, squat, cough, the bottom of your feet, everything.
Wait. Last episode, we talked about putting drugs in your butt when you go into booking. If you squat and cough, wouldn't the drugs fall out?
Not necessarily. If you do it properly, you can get it deep enough, I suppose. I'm not speaking from experience, but I've been told that it works.
So you have to, like,
No, there's ways to get around it, I guess. Booking is not the place that you really want to be going with drugs. I mean, you find other ways to get it in when you're not having to go through a whole cavity search, usually. You know, you want to, but, yeah, there's other opportunities.
It's a lot of commitment, guys. Please take a second.
Yeah. The things people do to get high on the inside are pretty crazy.
Damn. Okay, continue. I believe in you.
So, yeah, I mean, it's a whole process, especially in prison, because you're basically becoming state property. So you actually sign, like, your life away. You say who you want to come pick up your body in case you die. It's gnarly. So you have to do all these things. You got to get your blood drawn for you get tested for everything. They test your vision. It's like a whole physical and stuff. And then once you do that part, you go to a mental health doctor and he asks you a bunch of questions about your feelings. And when you see this picture, what do you think of and stuff? And they try to diagnose your mental health to see if you're equipped to handle being around other people and stuff. And then after that, you go to one of the commanding officers, whoever's on duty, one of the sergeants or lieutenants, and they are the classification officers, so they decide what level you're best suited for. And a lot of it has to do based on the points that you have, but they can use some discretion. So I had 25 points, which equals level 2 points, and they put me in a dorm living. So I went to a level 1 and level 2 dorm. But booking was crazy. A little different than county jail. David can touch on county jail. It can be a lot more mellow, or it can be a lot scarier too, because you have people coming in drunk off the streets and stuff. So you don't know what you're going to get into. But
wait, so many questions.
I have a question. Because we watch a lot of reality television because we're garbage human beings. But there's on 60 Days In. It's funny because a lot of the episodes, there are people who are clearly mentally unstable, right? In GP. Mm-hmm. And then you're saying that they go through a mental evaluation or a psychological evaluation before they go in. But I don't really see how that moves the needle in any way of where they go, unless I'm incorrect.
Well, in county jail, they have entire sections for people to go. Like if they are 5150 or if they suffer from any type of mental health, like they don't really program them with GP. Like those shows you're probably watching, if I was, I'm almost assuming that those are probably PC dorms that they're showing.
So PC is
protective custody. Okay. It can be for a multiple different things. People are in PC for dropping out of gangs. They're in PC for like charges having to do with children or
ratting on someone
or anything, any type of those, any charges against women or elderly or people who rack up drug debts inside jail and prison, they'll drop out and have to go to protective custody. There's all kinds of reasons that people aren't able to program in general pop.
Interesting. And if you're like, I'm really interested because it's very similar. You were saying you're signing off your rights, and that's kind of how the military is, right? You're now property for a certain amount of time, mind you, very different. But in this sense, like, I wonder if they categorize you by your offense. And I know they categorize where you go based off of, I guess, how dangerous you are, or they might not. But for example, like a Larry Nassar, which I'm really, really intrigued by his story. I'm disgusted by it, but he's basically the doctor, the USA gymnastics doctor that molested and, you know, did some,
all the like gymnast girls.
Yeah. Terrible. Right. Like over 100 girls. Right. And all these people know that he's coming into prison and he's going through booking. I wonder what the process is for him. He's probably going to be.
It would be totally different. Right. A lot of times with celebrity cases too, like they isolate them. They're going to be doing salt. Like they're going to be, they are by themselves. They're going to be, it's called, what's it called? I forget. It's not a shoe term, but it's basically, you're going to be in solitary housing. And when they do that, they literally will lock up anyone who's GP and they escort the person who's coming through so that nobody can get within like reaching arms of them or anything.
Dang. How long is this process? Because I feel like the way you're explaining it, it's like hours and hours. Like, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For prison, yeah, I was in the booking at reception for probably 10 hours.
Whoa.
Yeah, so, and in county jail, you can be, I've heard of horror stories in LA County where people spend days in booking.
David.
Yeah, a lot of it depends on the population currently at the jail, as far as how long you're going to be in there waiting. And if there's an incident, all guards have to respond. It could be hours or, like Johnny said, even a couple of days.
But then there's also been times where I've gone to Santa Cruz County Jail and I've been the only person in booking and they've gotten me housed within 2 hours, you know, so it's really just depends. Like,
interesting. So David, what was your experience? Were there any like differences to what Johnny was saying? Cause you went to Santa Cruz and Ventura County, correct? And what were kind of like the differences between the two jails? I know you mentioned it lightly before.
So I guess a big difference between prison is a lot of people come to jail. And in booking, there will be, you know, drunk tanks for people who are just sobering up and then they go home. A lot of people coming in and out here and there. For me, the first time I went, I was 18 and I was terrified. I knew that I had gotten out the first time. I was in there for an hour. I went to court. And then when I really turned myself in to start my 8-month sentence, I was terrified because granted, like Johnny said, I was the first one to go to jail out of me and Johnny, but also my friends. So I couldn't really get advice from anybody on the politics inside jail, how to carry yourself, what to do. They in Santa Cruz, they kind of walked me into a section and said, jump on a bunk. And I didn't know what to do. I didn't talk to anybody for 2 days. I didn't say a word because I was just so afraid. Ventura was a little bit different process just because I had been in jail before. Yeah. It had been a 9-year gap. So I forgot a lot of stuff, but Ventura County Jail is also bigger in my opinion, but also a little bit different. When I was in there, they do your mugshot, they do your fingerprints. They ask you what medication you're on. I was withdrawing from methadone. So that was a whole nother thing that I had to deal with. And then I was in a room with like 8 guys. And they didn't do this in Santa Cruz. In Santa Cruz, you did it by yourself, but same thing. They stripped you out. You're in a line, butt naked. You walk inside this little shower area, squat and cough. And I had never had to really do that with other people. So I was kind of tripping out on what's going on. And in Ventura County is a maximum security jail. So there's a lot more, like Johnny mentioned last episode,
it's a lot stricter than other county jails.
Yeah. It's very militant in there, the way they do things when you're in the section. So I was in there for a while. I'd probably say 4 or 5 hours, maybe not crazy long, but then you go to suicide watch. It's a whole ordeal, but I was scared the first time, second time. I'm a lot older, bigger, and it was still a little bit terrifying, but I knew what I was getting myself into. I knew what to be prepared for, basically.
Too bad you didn't have this podcast before then.
Yeah. Well, I guess like it's interesting. So Johnny, you were super mellow and calm based upon the last podcast episode we had, but I'm like kind of thinking over what at least I would have felt in that situation. And probably our listeners, you're going to prison, right? This is like a step up from jail. And now everything kind of changes. This is your new home for X amount of years, depending. Hold up. We have an ad. Hold, please. So I guess my question is, your brain's going a million miles a minute, Johnny, and I'm going to ask the same question to you too, David, is like, what's going through your head? Now you're stepping it up. You're going to a whole new level. This is your new home for X amount of however long. How terrified are you, in all honesty?
I was a little scared of just where I was going to end up more than anything. I knew I wanted to be in a dorm living. I didn't want to spend a lot of time in cells. And I knew that the cells were higher levels, and there's a lot more crazy stuff that happens in those dorms than the lower level dorms. I was really hoping that I would get put in a dorm, and I didn't find out until they call all of our names. And I'm with a group of like 30 people at this point, and we just start walking down this long tunnel, and it's like a football field long, and we walk all the way to the end of it, and then it branches off into like the different yards on the prison. So there's D yard and C yard and B yard and H yard and all these different places that have living areas. And so they call these guys that go to H, and H is in Wasco, that's the one that has like all the dorms. So all these people are going to H unit, and they don't call me. So I'm like, what the heck? Am I going to a cell? Like, that's going to suck. It's summertime. It's going to be hot. I'm in the desert. Like, I do not want to go to a cell. And they call the people for the other yards and stuff. And then they're like, D yard. And there's 7 different buildings on D yard. D1, D2, D3, D4, D5, D6, and D7. And they all wrap around this huge yard that's about 2 football fields long. It's got 2 big basketball courts on it and a track that goes around the whole thing. There's gun towers everywhere. You see the COs up in the gun tower, like walking around. They're like got straps on them. Like, it's crazy. And we're walking out, and they start reading off names for the people going to D1 and then D2 and D3. And all I see is just cells. Like, all the buildings, you can tell that it's cell living. And there's little windows. You could see the people in their cells and stuff. So I'm just waiting to see what cell dorm I'm going to have to go into. And then they don't call me till the very end, and they say you're going to D7, and they point out to this building out at the very end, and it looks like a big warehouse. I thought it was just like where they like kept a bunch of equipment and stuff. But we walk all the way out there, me and 2 other guys, and we're the 3 youngest dudes. They look like they're both like 18. And so we walk all the way out, and they open the door, and you walk in, and there's like 200 people in this unit. And I'm just like, oh crap. But right away you see, there's like someone from each race standing right at the front. There's like a white kid, and there's a Mexican kid, and a black dude, and a Asian guy over here, and someone else. And like, you walk in, and they just come and they say, hey, what are you? And I was like, I'm white. And instantly like 2 white guys walk up to me. They grab my stuff. Like, hey, well, here, we'll get you set up in your bunk. Like, instantly, just so nice, like, giving you the rules, telling you everything. And, like, they make it seem really scary in the movies. Like, you walk in, and people are calling, like, hey, bitch. Like, get, like, you know, they make it seem like it's scary. Like, people are punking you, like, what's up, fresh meat? Like, it's not like that at all. Like, when you come in, people are, like, welcoming. They help you get set up. It's very, like, respectful and not scary at all.
But doesn't that immediately put like a target on your back for the other like races that you don't belong in?
It's not really like that. Like, they instantly can see that I run with the white boys, and like, yeah, it's somewhat segregated. Like, if it ever, like, if a riot were to happen and it's a white boy versus a Mexican, yes, I'm going to be fighting those Hispanics. But in the moment, like, we all get along with each other. Like, we can play cards with each other. We're hanging out, whatever. But they, yes, they do see that I am not one of them.
Right. But. And David, I know that you alluded to this before. I know that that county jail is kind of similar, where you run with your races. And I mean, we said this, it was interesting, right? Like, you said, or I asked, because I'm half Persian and I'm half Chinese. So what race, like, group would I go to? And you said something
on the other box.
Yeah, we're in, like, this other box checkoff thing.
They just go by, you're an other. They call them an other.
But, like,
other.
So I'm, like, half Mexican, half white. Like, I'm pretty, like...
You could technically...
You would probably run with white people, because a lot of the... Hispanic,
that is
like,
so calmly too. Not even laughing. Just you'd probably run with the white. She definitely would run
just
with the white.
Just knowing my personality.
Hear her?
Hey,
on the... Yeah, I mean, your last name's Harris too.
Hey, you just added me to
Okay, edit that out. I mean, you're saying the Johnston boys, this and that.
That's true. There's no editing this out, guys. Our full names are on here. Chill.
Right. Part of it too is when you go into booking, they ask you, you know, your race, your all that stuff. But when you go into a section, I've seen people who are mixed, and one guy, for example, same thing, half white, half Mexican. And when somebody from your race is there, they ask you what you run. So usually they'll tell you, you know, if someone who has been to jail is in the holding tank with you and booking, you got to kind of make your choice right then and there. And that's, there's no changing it. You run with that race for the remainder of any time you go to jail in the future, really. So sometimes you get to choose, I guess, if you're mixed, but mainly a lot of times, you know, you go as how you appear or the people you hang out with out there, depending on your race, essentially.
Could you, like, make it, like, I feel like if there's white girls in jail, and this is probably gonna make me sound so stupid. Like, I feel like if there's, like, white girls in jail, like, really most of them are just kind of drug addicts, where, like, the Mexican girls, like, they'll scalp you and then shank you in the back. You know what I mean? Like, could I?
There's definitely, I mean, there's people, you have white guys in there who are there in there for DUIs, who've never done drugs in their life or have never even hung around people in gangs or anything. So it's new to them, but they still can be with us and be around people who are gang related, and you can all coexist with each other. I know it's crazy, but you're with guys who are CEOs of companies who are there for fraud, and people who are there from the military who didn't follow orders and stuff. Like, there's people from all walks of life, and you can all coexist with the guy who's got tattoos all over his face and has been in a gang since he was 12. Like, it's crazy, but it works, because people just have a mutual respect for each other.
Right. And you're on that common ground of, like, you're all in this together. Not to really quote High School Musical, but
I'm really done with Charlotte today.
This is why I'd be in the white girl.
She just, yeah. This girl literally asked, would I be with the Hispanics or would I be with the white people? And she just quoted High School Musical. Well, you just answered that. You would be, like, in the corner of the white girls.
Curled up in all crime.
So, David, I guess, like, you went into jail and you mentioned that you were terrified. And you're experiencing all the things we just talked about for the very first time. And I can only imagine. So was it the same experience? Johnny said it was more inviting in prison, right? Where everyone just sticks together. Is that kind of the same vibe in jail?
Yeah. So the first time I went in, you know, I was terrified, 18, you know, didn't know what I was doing. And it was the same thing in the sense of they welcomed you. But I still didn't know really what that meant. You know, they helped me. Oh, this is your bunk. Okay. We'll help you out. If you need something, let us know. But because I was so terrified, I didn't really know, what to do with that or what that meant. And granted, I was in that specific jail for like 2 days. I went to a new one a couple of days later where I had to readjust again, and I knew I was going there. So I didn't really make too many friends. I didn't know too many people. My co-defendant was there, so him and I kind of hung out. for the most part, I kept to myself for a little bit, and I've always respected people, and I just sat back and listened. I didn't get into people's business. I just listened to what everybody was saying, and I did have a couple older people come and show me the ropes, like, hey, have you been here before? No. He said, okay, these are the words you can't say. These are the things you do. You cannot sit with, you know, in jail in California, whites and Hispanics are technically on good terms, but you can't eat with blacks. You can't, there's certain things you can't do with black people. And I'm glad someone told me, because I didn't know any of this. So luckily someone was able to kind of coach me up on that, or else I would have been a fish out of water, and I would have gotten in a lot of trouble for doing stuff that I didn't know was wrong.
Right. What's the craziest story in booking, like during the first 3 days you guys were there, that you witnessed, and that kind of was like, all right, I'm here now.
Go ahead, Johnny.
For me, it was in Ventura. Ventura, the first 3 days you're there, you're in it's called Suicide Watch. Everyone has to go through it. It's 72 hours, and it's basically just a section of the jail where you go until they decide where to house you. It gives them 3 days to kind of process all your information, figure out where you've been before, and figure out what level you need to go to within the jail. There's not any commissary. It's different than any other jail. Like Santa Cruz, you go right into a dorm immediately where there's commissary and TV and coffee and books and stuff. In Ventura, there's no books, there's no commissary, there's no like anything for the first 3 days. So you're kind of just sleeping or just hanging out in your cell doing whatever until chow time. And you come down for chow, and there was one Asian dude who was there, and you could tell he was coming off of benzos really hard. He was withdrawing, and he was late for dinner one night, and the cop kept calling his name over the loudspeaker, and he wasn't coming down. And finally, like, someone woke him up, and he was coming down the stairs, and you could tell he was just like out of it. He was like wobbling, and he walks down to the window, and the cop is like, hey, show me your wristband. So you have your wristband with your ID and your picture and stuff, and they have to mark off your name for count and for food. And so he's like just looking at him, but he's like looking through the cop. Like, it looks like he's not even like registering what he's saying or anything. And out of nowhere, this dude just falls backward, and his head hits the concrete ground so hard. Like, I can still hear it to this day, like the snap of his head, like clapping on the concrete, and he just went out. He was unconscious, and I heard later on that he died. Oh, I don't know if it's true, but they told me that this dude had a seizure and he passed away from withdrawals, and he like had a brain hemorrhage or something from that fall.
First day. Nice. That was pretty crazy. David?
Yeah. I guess the most recent time when I went into Ventura, there was a guy who, you know, we're going through the strip search and stuff, and we're butt naked, whatever. He's a heavy set guy, and he had heroin on him. And his way of hiding it, he decided to stick it in his belly button. And believe it or not, the cops never found it. So I'm going through there. Again, Johnny's talking about Suicide Watch. I was kicking fentanyl and methadone, so I didn't sleep at all for 2 days. And low-key, I was still using, so I was hoping I'd end up in his cell. But I never saw him anymore. But, yeah, he snuck it in through his belly button, and got away with it. And I guess some people hide it behind their ear. I guess everyone finds a way, like Johnny said, there's other ways of doing it through your butt. And that kind of tripped me out, because I never would have imagined or thought about that. And that's one of the really, I guess.
Wait, what happens if you get caught with it, like in booking? Like if they're like, oh, lift up your belly button, and they find it.
Worst case scenario, you can get 4 years added on for being in possession inside of a federal facility.
Yeah. If you bring a controlled substance inside a facility, you can get additional time. It's way gnarlier than having it getting caught with it on the streets, because you're bringing it in and it's
I'm not sure about county jail, but in prison, if you get caught with anything while you're in prison, it's an automatic 4 years that you do at 80%. So you do 80% of the 4 year sentence.
Yeah. County jail, it's 2 years and they give you half of that. So they give you a year flat additional on your charge, on your sentence for having a controlled substance.
Can we also just talk about the fact that Charlotte said if you flip up your belly button and you find drugs?
Well, if it's in a flap of skin, like you have to lift it up.
No, it's in the belly button. Like you can put things inside of your belly button.
And okay, think about this. This guy was over 300 pounds. He had a deep butt, okay?
So he's got pockets, bro.
I thought he was like the cops made him and where it's like you can literally like pull a string. I don't even know how that's possible. I feel stupid now saying it out loud. I'm like, how the fuck?
Whoa, no, he just put it put it on his finger, stuck it in there, and he did the whole bend over, squat and cough. But granted, keep in mind the cop has 10 to 15 people to do this to. They're looking at you, but they're also not fully examining you because you're by yourself.
Well, you don't know that. Maybe. Yeah. The unit that has the most drugs and most paraphernalia in it by far is the girls' units, though. At least in Santa Cruz. I mean, you look in there, there was the girls' unit used to be right next to the guys, and there was like a hole in one of these like wood plates, and you could see into their yard, and they had lighters and pipes and all kinds of stuff. They had everything going on over there.
Ventura County, too.
They got pockets. Well, they just do Kegels.
Kegels? Charlotte!
Exactly. This is why this podcast is not for the young age.
Wait, so, I'm super intrigued by how many different ways people get creative, right? All the creative energy we put into our jobs, if you have a creative job, so maybe just me. And you. But all that energy is put into strategizing how to get high like so many times, or how to have a currency to some extent by sneaking something in. What is the highest currency drug wise that you can sneak in?
That's a good question.
Heroin?
Heroin.
Well, wouldn't it be like supply and demand?
Yeah, because meth is a lot cheaper on the streets. Heroin in jail. I guess something that I witnessed was someone came in with, I don't know, I guess a few grams, which normally on the street is like, I don't know, less than $200, and he made over $600 for it because people want it, but also it, like you said, supply and demand. No one else has it, so you're gonna pay a lot to get it.
To answer your question, it depends on what other drugs are in there at the time, how much of it they have. I mean, there's been times where a unit has been so flooded that everyone's getting high for free. You know, there's other times where you're having to buy a nickel for $50 because it's the only
thing. Okay, so this is going to lead to our next topic, which I'm already going to say right now. And it's going to be called strategy and currency, because that's a whole system in itself. And I'm really interested to hear your perspective on how it is. Like, regardless of how you got there, now you're there. You're in prison. You're in jail. Now it's survival mode. And maybe it's not as extreme as we thought, where people were screaming, "Hey, bitch," when you come in, which is kind of disappointing. Also, I'm an asshole for saying that.
Yeah. Well,
but, like, you know, but now we have to face the realities of it. So that being said, follow our Instagram, which is
Behind the Fence Podcast.
Yep. Go ahead and ask questions, too, because I know we're not the only ones who have questions. And we'll go ahead and address them the last 15 minutes of the episode. We haven't received any questions in the last one as of yet, but I know they're going to trickle in right while I'm saying it right now.
I've already got a question.
Oh, you've already got questions. There you go. But anyway, thank you for listening in. We're stoked to be here, as always. I'm Phoenix.
I'm Charlotte.
I'm Johnny.
Awesome.
And I'm David.
Thank you so much, guys. Have a good rest of your day.
Talk to you next week.